It's a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's yesteryear. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levanger. Coming up in this hour, comedy from the Jack Benny Show later on, but right now it's the Fitch Bandwagon, better known as the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. Phil Harris was the longtime bandleader for Jack Benny, and Alice Faye, an accomplished on-screen actress and singer. Jack Benny is special guest playing Santa in this next NBC broadcast from December 21st, 1947.
The F.W. Fitch Company, makers of Fitch Shampoo, presents the Fitch Bandwagon, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Robert North, Walter Scharf and his music, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. For weeks now, the Harris children, like children all over the world, have been thinking of nothing but Christmas and Santa Claus. They've been on their best behavior. And as we look in, we find Alice complimenting the children on their good deportment.
Now, you've been particularly good, Alice. You've gone to sleep early, you've put all your toys away, you've finished all your food at mealtime, and you drink all your milk.
Gee, I've been a regular little angel, haven't I, Mommy?
Oh, no. So let's not go that far. As for you, honey, you've been just as good as Alice. You, too, have been going to bed early, putting your toys away and eating all your food. The only thing is, you haven't been drinking all your milk.
Well, I tried to, but you know how that stuff gags me.
Quiet, Phil. I'm talking to little Phyllis. Where is she? She was here a minute ago.
She went in again, Mommy. I'll get her. Phyllis! Phyllis! Mommy wants you to come... Phyllis! What are you doing with those crayons?
Oh, I was just going to draw a picture on the wall.
Don't do that. You know we gotta be good till Christmas.
But I've been good for 3 weeks now. Gee, how long can they expect a kid to be so good? Alice, it's an awful strain.
I know, but it's only 4 more days. Don't crack up now. Been so good for so long.
I know, but as Daddy always says, it ain't been easy, Buster.
Alice, have you asked Mommy and Daddy about Santa Claus yet?
No, but I will.
Children, what's going on in here?
Yeah, what are you two doing?
Oh, nothing. Just sitting here being good.
Mommy, Daddy, we want to ask a favor. We'd like to stay up and see Santa Claus when he brings the presents on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, well, but, honey, he has a lot of other stops to make, and, well, he might get here very late.
Oh, can't we, Daddy, please?
Well, okay. Now, you kids continue to behave yourselves, and I promise that you'll see Santa on Christmas Eve. Now, run along and play.
Thanks, Daddy. Gee, I can hardly wait for Christmas Eve.
Phil, why did you promise the children that? Now, if they don't see Santa, they'll be very disappointed.
But they're going to see him. And just to make sure, I'll dress up like Santa and come down the chimney. They won't be able to tell me from the real one.
Daddy.
Yes, dear?
Don't you dress up and make believe you're Santa like last year. Boy, was that corny.
Alice, I still can't figure out how they knew it was me last year. What did I do that was wrong?
Well, for one thing, you were supposed to come in singing Jingle Bells.
I did.
But those lyrics, I can still hear them. Ham hocks and turnip greens, they melt right in your mouth. A candy, yes, and a hominy crescendo, that's what I like about the South.
Yeah!
And what's wrong with those lyrics?
That isn't the way we sing it up north.
Can I help it if you Yankees don't know the right words? You don't think I can play St. Nick? We'll get somebody else to do it.
I wonder why the girls are so anxious to see Santa Claus. Phil, do you suppose...
Gee, I hope not. Hey, Alice, look, we just got to produce the Santa Claus on Christmas Eve.
Well, don't worry about it, Phil.
Well, I got to worry about it. Somebody's got to worry about it. It's important. I got to think of something. Now, let me concentrate. If I think hard enough, something will come out.
Good morning, Philip.
For this, I had to concentrate.
Hello, William.
Hello, dear. Philip, are you in pain?
You have such a strained expression on your face.
I'm thinking. Now, if you want to talk to me, come back later. I got a thought running through my mind.
I'll wait. Through your mind, it's only a short dash and it won't take long.
Get a load of this red skeleton of Encino. Look, don't bother me, Willie. I'm trying to think so that we've got to get somebody to play Santa Claus for the kids on Christmas Eve, and we want to get someone who looks and sounds like the real thing.
Well, if that's your problem, you needn't look any further. I shall be glad to portray Christopher Kringle.
Christopher? Well, Donner, my blister. Christopher, fine Santa Claus you'd make.
I'd make an excellent one. I'm quite an actor, you know. I can see myself popping out of the chimney, bounding into the living room and saying, ho, 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 and a Merry Christmas to you little kiddies. And what do you wee darlings desire as a Yuletide memento?
Thank you, Catherine Cornell. Look, get lost, Index. Go make a double entry.
Well, I guess I'm not wanted around here, so...
Oh, wait now, wait. Don't take it to heart, Willie. You're not a bad guy. You're always trying to do the right thing. Oh,
do you really think so, Philip?
Yeah. It ain't your fault that you're a schnook and don't know how.
Very well, Mr. Harris. I'll leave and let you do things your own blundering way. Goodbye, Alice, dear. And to think she could have married Rudy Valley.
There goes a cute little character. He has all the charm of live bait. Hey, look, Alice, seriously, what are we going to do? Now, we're going to have to get someone for the kids who look like Santa, and I... Hey, wait a minute. I got just the guy, Don Wilson.
Oh, Phil, Don would be perfect. He's jovial, he has a cheery face, and he's rotund.
Yeah, and he's fat, too. Hey, honey, why don't you call Don and see if he can come over Christmas Eve?
All right, I'll call him right now.
Yeah. Gee whiz, the children never have seen Don, and they can't possibly recognize him. I can hardly wait to see how the kids react on Christmas Eve. You know, there's something wonderful about watching a kid on Christmas, waiting for Santa and listening for those jingle bells. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in the one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in the one-horse open sleigh.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh.
O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way.
Bells on top hill ring, they're making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Hey!
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Hey!
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride, and soon Miss Alice Faye was seated by my side.
The horse was lean and lank. Misfortune seemed his luck. He got into a drifted bank, and we got a thought.
Jingle bells,
snow with a hey, ha 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 ho ha ho. With sleigh bells ringing, gaily singing, merrily we go.
Jingle bells,
white as snow, so cold and crisp and light. With
jingle
and
all
we are going
the way
through the night. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, hey. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. It is to ride an open sleigh. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one horse
open one horse open sleigh. Gee whiz, I sure hope Don can make it. You know, he's going to be terrific at Santa Claus because... that must be Frankie. Hiya, Curly.
Hi,
Frankie. Come on in.
Yeah.
Hey. What do you got in all those packages?
Christmas presents. I got some things for the kids.
Alice.
And here's something for you, Curly.
For me?
Oh, you got a present for little curly-headed me.
Yeah, I got you.
Oh, gee, Frankie. That's sweet of you.
I don't know what to say.
That's all right, Curly.
But the thought. Gee, you don't know how I appreciate it. It touches me deeply.
You're going to get sloppy about it. I'll take it back.
Well, I appreciate it, Frankie, but... Well, I didn't want you to go out and spend a lot of money on me.
I didn't. I spent most of my money on a kid. After all, Christmas is for them. Where's Alice?
Oh, she's inside calling Don Wilson. You see, the kids want to see Santa Claus on Christmas Eve, so we're asking Don to play it.
Why are you getting Don Wilson to play Santa?
Well, what else am I going to do?
Well, let him stay up and see the real Santa Claus.
Yeah, but I don't know what time he's coming. Did you say something?
Yeah. Why don't you let the kids see the real Santa Claus?
Move over, Frankie. You'll get some of that stuff on me. Get over.
You're another one of those cynics, huh? Wise guy who don't believe.
You do?
Of course. You know, just because you've never seen him don't mean he's not there. You must realize, Curly, there are some things in life that are inexplicable. Psychic phenomena that are ethereal and beyond the comprehension of we mere mortals.
What was that?
What's the matter? Did I say something vulgar? No, Curly, you can take my word for it. The real guy will show up.
Okay, Remley, stop.
All I gotta say is the good thing kids have more common sense and faith than most grown-ups. Christmas wouldn't be much fun. I know that on Christmas Eve, old St. Nick and his reindeer will come flying through the sky.
Yeah. But do you mind if we have somebody stand by just in case Santa's forced down with a low fog over Burbank?
All right. Scoff, if you will. I'll drop over Christmas Eve, then maybe you'll sing a different tune. Goodbye, infidel.
That Remley, I don't know what to think
Phil,
about.
Phil, I called on, but he can't make it. However, he said he has a lot of actor friends, and he'll send one of them over. But he said we'd have to pay the actor $10.
So what? $10. It'll be worth it to make the kids happy. Hey, honey, did Don say he could get someone positively?
Yes, Phil. He said he was sure he'd get someone.
Yeah, sure hope so, because it's very important. Hey, if anything would go wrong, I don't know what I'd do.
Phil, please stop worrying. It's still 3 days till Christmas Eve, and if you keep this up, you'll drive yourself batty.
And for 3 days, Phil worried. Now as we look in on the Harris home, it's Christmas Eve. Phil is downstairs trimming the tree and impatiently awaiting the arrival of Santa. Alice is upstairs reassuring the children that he'll be there.
But, Mommy, it's 10 o'clock already and Santa isn't here yet.
Gee, Mommy, do you think maybe he isn't coming?
Oh, don't fret, girls. Of course he's coming. So... You better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping, knows when you're awake. He knows if you're bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
He's riding with his reindeer in a great big open sleigh, with a great big bag of presents, and to give them all away.
He sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming.
There. Well, that's the last ornament. Hey, looks pretty good. Now Santa only shows up when a woman...
Phil, I was just upstairs with the children. Oh, Phil, the tree looks beautiful.
Yeah. Hey, honey, how are the kids? Are they impatient?
Oh, they'll be all right.
Oh, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, Frankie.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Hey, Frankie, what do you got there?
Milk and crackers for Santa Claus.
I put them on the mantle for him every year. Hey, where's the kids?
Oh, they're upstairs waiting for Santa.
Yeah, and I'm waiting, too. When is the guy going to show up? It's after 10 already.
Be patient, Curly. He's got a long trip from the North Pole. Besides, his reindeer ain't as young as they used to be in it.
Keep quiet. I'm paying the guy $10. You'd think he'd get here on time.
This subterfuge is all so unnecessary.
Hey, there's a door. That must be Santa now. I'll let him in.
I'll go with you, honey.
Okay.
Well, Merry Christmas, Santa.
Merry Christmas, Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, and where's my $10?
Hey, Jackson, what are you doing here?
Well, Don Wilson happened to mention that you were paying $10 for a Santa Claus. I had an old pair of red flannels drying around.
Jackson, hey, since when do you have to go around playing Santa Claus for money?
Well, Phil, you don't begrudge me a guest shot once in a while, do you? After all, I only have one show, you know. I have to pick up a little leg. Oh, hello, Frankie. Merry Christmas.
Don't Merry Christmas me, you imposter, you. Ah, fine, look at Santa Claus.
I think I make a very good-looking Santa Claus in my red suit with a pillow under it for a stomach.
I think you look ridiculous. Look at your costume. It's bagging at the knees.
That's my stomach. It keeps slipping.
Hey, Jackson, I want you to know it's sure nice of you to do this for us, but, well, hey, look, Frankie's right. You don't look exactly like Santa Claus.
You sure don't. Look at that white beard. Where did you rent that moth-eaten thing?
It's not rented. I was playing gin rummy with Monty Woolley, and I won it. Of course, if you people don't like me as Santa Claus, then I'll just
pay no attention to these two, Jack. I think you make a wonderful Santa Claus, and you're worth what we're paying you. Phil, give Jack the $10.
Okay, here you are, Jackson.
Thanks.
Gee, little Phyllis will get a kick out of this. I'll go call her. And, Jack, try to convince her you're really Santa Claus, huh?
Little Phyllis? Phil, I thought I was doing this for your benefit. I mean, if it's for little Phyllis, I wouldn't think of taking money.
No. It's okay, Jackson. A deal's a deal.
Oh, please don't embarrass me.
But, Jackson, I told you...
Look, if it's for the kid, I wouldn't think of taking the $10.
Well, if you insist...
$7.50 is plenty. What kind of a heel do you think I am? Now, Phil, look...
Oh, look, it's mighty sweet of you, Jackson, to play Santa Claus for my two kids.
Oh, two kids? Well, look, Phil, I can't take any money at all for this. Tell you what, if you want to, you can buy me a little something for Christmas.
Like what?
Anything that Alice can afford. I don't
know. Okay, look, Jackson, the kids will be down in a minute to see Santa, and it's very important that you make them think that you're the real McCoy. Now, do you think you can act the part?
Oh, I shouldn't have any trouble, Phil. You know, I have great histrionic ability.
Yeah, but you're such a lousy actor.
What?
This impersonation is preposterous. Santa Claus won't like this.
Come along, children. He's right in here. Well, there he is.
Gee, Santa Claus. Hello, Santa.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas and hello again. This is Santa Claus talking. Come here, children, and tell me how you like old Santa.
We like you fine, Santa. You're just like we pictured you. Yes, you're jolly and you have a nice fat tummy. But...
But what?
Well, isn't your tummy awful low?
Oh, that. That's the new look, kitty. I'm wearing it 4 inches lower this year.
Well, kids, are you happy to see Santa? Gee, doesn't he look good?
He sure does, Daddy. He looks kind of old.
I am, little girl. After all, I'm Santa Claus. I've lived for hundreds and hundreds of years.
How old are you?
38. Well, old Santa has to be going now. Here are your toys, girls.
Thank you, Santa.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, I'll be seeing you next year. Merry Christmas to all, and all a good night. Up, Dancer, up, Prancer, up, Donner, and Blitzen. Ho, 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 and away we go.
A big ham.
Well, children, what did you think of Santa Claus?
I liked him, but I was a little disappointed.
Why?
I expected him to take out his violin and play Love and Bloom.
You mean you kids knew it was Mr. Benny?
Sure, but we didn't want to say anything and hurt his feelings.
Daddy, when is the real Santa coming?
Well, well, you see, honey,
he'll be here soon, kid.
Oh, Frankie. Listen, children, listen to me now. He has a lot to do, and he may be very late, so I'll tell you what. I'll tell you a Christmas story, and then maybe you'll run off to bed, huh?
Well, all right, Daddy, but we wanted so much to see him.
All right, honey, maybe next year. He's busy. Now, look, you sit up on my lap, and I'll tell you the story. You ready? It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were Hey, I thought I heard sleigh bells. No, I guess. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced through their heads. Alice, what are those bells? What's the...
Shh. Quiet, Curly.
Phyllis, look, in the fireplace. It's Santa Claus, the real one.
But...
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Frankie, who are you talking to? I don't see anybody.
The kids do. Look at them.
Gee, Santa, we knew you'd come. They couldn't fool us with any make-believe Santa Claus. We were waiting just for you. Oh, sure. We've been very good girls. Oh, what a lovely dollhouse. Thank you. And all these things are for me? Can I open them now? All right, Santa, we'll wait till morning. Thank you very much. And a Merry Christmas to you too, Santa. Of course we'll tell them. Merry Christmas and goodbye, Santa Claus.
I told you he'd show up, Curly.
But Frankie, I don't get it. I heard it, but I didn't see him.
Of course you didn't. He sure is a nice-looking old gent.
Alice, did you see him?
I'm not sure, Phil. I almost thought I saw him standing there.
But Alice, how could it be? If he was standing there...
Phil, what are you staring at?
That spot on the rug there. Alice, it's snow. Children, kids, hey, come here a minute. Look, Santa said something to you, and you said, yes, we'll tell them. What did he say?
He told us to be sure and wish you and Mommy a Merry Christmas.
Now, wasn't that sweet of him?
Now, girls, you're all tucked in. You've seen Santa, and you have everything you want. So go right to sleep. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, babies.
Daddy.
Yes, dear.
Can I have a drink of water?
Go to sleep. This is Phil Harris. The F.W. Fitch Company, Alice and I, and our entire cast want to thank all of you so much for listening to our show and wish you the best Christmas you've ever had. Good night.
The Fitch Bandwagon on Tuned To Yesterday from NBC from December 21st, 1947. It's a Christmas edition of Tuned To Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier. And now one of the several and famous Jack Benny Christmas shopping episodes, a tradition that began in December of 1937 and carried all the way through his radio and television career through 1957. This next broadcast of the Jack Benny Show from NBC, part of their Sunday night lineup at 7 o'clock, over 36 million people were tuned into this episode.
The Jell-O program, coming to you from the Ritz Theater in New York City, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Tookie. Tookie, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, there being just two more shopping days till Christmas, we bring you that fugitive from Gimble's basement, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And Don, speaking of Gimble's basement, I never saw so many women shopping in my life. I got shoved around like a blintzer in Lindy's. Boy, what a mob.
Pretty hectic, huh?
Hectic. You know, Don, I can understand my derby getting caved in, my muffler torn, and the sleeve of my coat ripped off. But how I lost my pivot tooth, I'll never know. That was really an experience.
Oh, I can just imagine what you must have gone through.
You know, a funny thing about women, Don, all year long, they're so helpless. You have to open the door for them. They can't light their own cigarettes. They cling to your arm as you walk down the street. They're as delicate as butterflies. And then, about 2 weeks before Christmas, a mad glint comes into their eyes. And with an umbrella for gouging and a handbag for slugging, off they go. Come on, girls, let's mangle the mail. That's their battle cry.
Well, Jack, women are a little excitable when they're shopping around Christmas time, but I don't think they're as tough as you say.
Oh, you don't, eh? Don, I was in Macy's yesterday afternoon, and a little gray-haired lady, couldn't have been over 5 feet tall, put down her cane and yanked a washing machine right out of my arm. I tried to get it back, and she kicked my hat off. Imagine.
My goodness, Jack, you don't mean to say that a little old lady took a big washing machine away from you.
Don, I wouldn't have minded that so much, but it was a demonstrator. I'll probably never get my laundry back. But it's my own fault, I guess, for waiting so long to shop. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Doll.
Doll? Well, look who's so affectionate around Christmas. You're certainly giving out with that soft soap.
Oh, no, I'm not, Jack.
You're not, eh? Then why did you call me Doll?
Because your hair is glued on.
All right, young lady, that did it. There goes that mink coat I was going to buy you for a present.
You were going to buy me a mink coat?
Yes, I were. Or was. I was going to buy you a mink coat.
I'll bet it were or was from Rabbit.
Oh, no, it wasn't. You've lost a very beautiful gift. And you know the kind I hand out.
Go on, you wouldn't buy Hedy Lamarr a Coca-Cola.
For Christmas? What are you talking about? Let me tell you something, Mary. A girl like Hedy Lamarr could make a playboy out of me. I'd buy her quarts of bubbling champagne.
You'd buy cider and put an Alka-Seltzer in it.
All right, keep it up, keep it up. There goes Don's Christmas present, too.
Hey, wait a minute, Jack. I didn't say anything.
Oh, pardon me. I got a little mixed up there.
Watch out, Don. He's laying for you.
No, I wouldn't forget about Don's present, not after the way he laughed at the premiere last Tuesday night. How'd you like the picture, Don?
Oh, I really enjoyed it, Jack. I got a big kick out of it.
I laughed like anything.
Sorry, Mary, the mink colt is over the dam. Anyway, Don, now that you've seen Love Thy Neighbor, what do you think of Fred Allen in it?
Well, to tell you the truth, Jack...
I mean, don't you feel... don't you feel that I get much bigger laughs than he does?
Well, to tell you the truth, Jack, I think you're very good in the picture and so is Allen. The honors are equally distributed.
Oh. Oh, I see.
Oh.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Mary. Then, Don, in your fat-headed opinion, you think Allen goes over as good as I do.
Exactly. You both have a lot to do in the picture, you both photograph well, and you both get big laughs.
Well, we both don't pay your salary, so start leaning my way. Imagine saying we photograph equally well.
That's ridiculous. Jack looks much better than Allen.
Why, certainly.
And Allen you can have.
Mary, one more crack out of you, and you'll be saying, oh, my goodness, I left my baby in the automat for Olson and Johnson. Remember that. Oh, hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. Well, old pal, you got nothing to worry about. I got your Christmas present bought, packed, and ready to hand over.
Oh, so you've been shopping too, eh, Phil?
You said it. All day yesterday, one store after another.
Well, did the women kick you around much?
Yeah, but I got it coming to me.
You said it. You know, Phil, I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance to buy your present yet. What did you get for me?
I ain't saying. You'll have to wait till Christmas.
Oh, come on, Phil. Tell me.
All right, Jackson, I'll tell you what I bought you. Remember that camel's hair overcoat we saw in the window on Fifth Avenue? The one you were so nuts about?
Yeah?
Well, I got you a box of nuts.
Oh, well, Phil, unless you're kidding, when Mary is in the audience stooging for Olson and Johnson, you'll be in the lobby trying to get out of a straitjacket. Catch on?
The way I've been going the last few nights, a straitjacket wouldn't be bad.
He's not fooling, folks. You know, Phil lives on the 18th floor of the St. Moritz Hotel, and he never uses the elevator. He just goes in and out the window. Now, Phil...
Yeah?
It's about a little quicker on the yeah. You know, when I say, now, Phil, you come right back. Yeah, there's no laugh when I say, now, Phil, you know. Yeah. It's about time for a band number, so let's have it. What are you going to play?
I don't know. This bunch don't speak English.
Oh, fine. Well, don't worry about it, Phil. Just pick up your baton and follow him. Go ahead, kid. Was Jingle Bells, played by Phil Harris and his Central Park Troubadours. Troubadours meaning they are traveling musicians, and Central Park meaning they ought to get a room tonight. That joke went over better the first show. Shows you we should change for the night show. What a gang you picked up here, Phil, huh?
Well, music is just a sideline with these boys.
I know, and I wish you'd tell the drummer to stop pestering me. I've got all the potato peelers I need. Those guys sell everything from razor blades to mink coats.
Ha-ha!
What are you a-hoeing about? Fink, the fiddle player, has wonderful mink. I saw him.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Hello, Dennis.
Boy, am I a wreck. Women, women, nothing but women.
Oh, have you? Have you been shopping, too?
No, I just came from Roseland.
Oh, 10 cents a dance, eh?
Yeah, I cleaned up.
Well, Say, Dennis, I hear that you and Kenny Baker have been stepping out and seeing the town together. Is that right?
Yeah, and you know what, Mr. Benny?
What?
The other night, I made him pay for everything. I stuck him for $2.45.
You did? Well, now, Dennis, that's not very nice. If Kenny is kind enough to show you a good time, the least you can do is go 50-50. Or better still, pay all the expenses yourself. It's all right to save money, Dennis, but there's nothing like being a good sport. What's that for, Miss Livingston?
Everybody else knows.
That's so. You see, Dennis, there's only one way to be popular. When you're out with a fella and he reaches for the check, you take it first. And if he should pick it up, you grab it right out of his hand. Grab it.
I can't stand this.
Mary, come back here.
Okay.
What's the matter with you? Dennis is just a kid, and while he's still young, he's got to be taught how to conduct himself in public and not be a cheapskate.
I don't understand you, Mr. Benny.
No, you don't? I don't understand you, Mr. Benny. I don't understand. Well, look, Dennis, I'll explain it to you. Dennis, we'll go out for a bite to eat after the broadcast, and I'll show you what I mean. I'll pick up the check, and you take it away from me. See? Then I'll take it away from you, and then you take it away from me.
Then what?
That's all, Bubs.
Mary, I warned you. Cut it out, kid.
Say, Jackson.
Yes, Phil?
My band number's over, and I still got a lot of Christmas shopping to do. Do you mind if I run along?
Why, no, Phil. In fact, I think I'll go with you. There are a lot of things I got to get myself. Don, you can take charge of the rest of the program, can't you?
Oh, sure, sure. Don't worry about it, Jack.
Come on with us, Mary. I want you to help me pick out a few things.
Okay, but don't embarrass me.
I won't. You know, there's a swell store near my hotel, the Sherry Netherlands, where I can buy almost... Wait a minute. Answer the phone, Mary.
Okay. Hello?
Hello, Miss Livingston. This is Rochester.
Oh, boy, are you going to get us. Jack, it's Rochester.
Rochester. Give me that phone. I'll find out right now where he's been for the past 2 weeks. Hello?
Hello, boss. What happened to you? Where you been?
Where have I been? I've been on the phone for the last 10 days trying to reach you. I call every hotspot in Harlem that's got a telephone.
At the hot ones, you can't hear it ring.
Rochester, I don't want any flippancies. I want the truth. Now, we arrived in New York a week ago Thursday.
The 12th, they tell me.
Yes, the 12th. It is now December 22nd, just 3 days before Christmas.
Happy Yuletide, boys!
Never mind that! What I want to know is, what became of the time between December 12th when we got here and December 22nd, which is today?
Well, on Friday the 13th, I was right up to the door of your hotel, ready to go to work.
Uh-huh.
And just as I was about to enter, a black cat ran across my path.
I see. Well, couldn't you walk around the cat?
I did, and wound up at 125th Street.
Oh, well, so much for Friday. Now, what happened on Saturday and Sunday?
Our weekend ended up to Harlem.
Up a Hudson, that
up
is.
To Hudson.
Take it again. How did I know when he's on the other side of the telephone? Well, we'll get to Monday. I must be psychic. Then we'll get to Monday. After your weekend, Rochester, why didn't you call me at my hotel?
I was so full of sherry, I couldn't think of Netherlands.
Now, don't give me that. Look, Rochester, I haven't any more time to argue with you. Where are you calling from?
What's that, boss?
I said, where are you right now?
Just a minute. What's the address here, sugar?
31 Lenox Avenue, honey.
31 Lenox Avenue, honey.
Rochester, who are you talking to?
Susan Brown, the sweetest gal in town.
Oh, yeah, I spoke to her last week and left a message for you. Did you get it?
Just a minute. Honey, did you give me a message from Mr. Benny?
Why, Rochester, you knows I did.
She forgot to give it to me, boy.
Oh, she forgot to give it to you, eh? Now, Rochester, I want you to go over to my hotel right away. That made up for the one you mucked. I want you to go over to my hotel right away. There's a lot of work to do, and it's got to be done before tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Now, how soon can you get over there?
Just a minute, boss. Say, sugar, I don't think I'll be able to take you to the Savoy Ballroom tonight.
Oh, that's all right, honey. I'll get somebody else.
You better not get somebody else.
I ain't going up there alone, Rochester. I want somebody to snuggle up to.
You get somebody to snuggle up to, and it'll be your last snug.
Rochester.
And I do mean last.
You threaten me, Shorty, and I'll cut them $9 out of your hip pocket.
Rochester, answer me. I want you to come right over to my hotel.
Leaving right away, boss. So long.
Goodbye.
Now, listen, sugar, don't make any date. I'll run over to see Mr. Benny, put on the old personality, and be back here in a half hour.
Rochester, you forgot to hang up.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Rochester.
Yes, boss.
I heard your conversation.
Don't you believe it?
Get over here. Goodbye. I'm the same trouble with that guy every time I come to New York. Come on, Mary. Let's go shopping while I'm mad.
Yeah, that'll hold you down.
Let's go, Phil.
Right with you, Jackson.
All right, Dennis. Let's have your song.
Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep in the hay. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come.
What a crowd. Sit close to me, Phil. You too, Mary. I don't want you to get lost.
Okay, Papa.
Are you going to take us to see Santa Claus, Daddy?
Pipe down, both of you. Got to have some system here. Now, let's see my Christmas list. I got to buy a compact or something for my Aunt Molly. A lawnmower for Dennis. A Mickey for my rider. Let's see. A deck of cards for Simney. Let's see, what else here?
Gee, look at that crowd of women at the bargain counter.
Where? Oh, boy, what a mob.
See you later, Jackson. I'm going over and mingle.
See you later. Gosh, I wish I knew what to get for Aunt Molly. Mary, I wonder if she could use a lipstick.
Has she got lips?
What do you think? She got lips. Here's a counter.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I'd like a lipstick, please.
Oh, come now.
Look, it's not for me. I'm buying it for my Aunt Molly.
I see. A lipstick for your Aunt Molly.
That's who it's for. She lives in Chicago on LaSalle Street.
What number?
I don't know the number.
Oh, you don't know the number, and yet you want to send a lipstick to your Aunt Molly.
I'm not going to send it. I'm going to take it to her. I'm going to stop off in Chicago on my way to California.
Oh, I suppose you're the only one that ever went to California.
What are you talking about? I live in California. I got a home there.
Well, I've got a home here, but I don't brag about it.
I wasn't bragging. Now, look, mister, all I want is a lipstick. Am I going to get it or not?
Sorry, I've decided against you. Next case, please.
If the guy isn't screwy, then I don't know why. More trouble over a lipstick. Mary, I ought to go over to the grocery department and get Don a case of Jell-O. He'll love it for Christmas.
And why don't you get two cases so you can fill a stocking?
I'll get all the six flavors. That'll do it. And Mary, while we're in the store, I think I'll buy a collar button. I need one.
Yeah, your Adam's apple ain't practical.
It's just an emergency. I lost the button. There's the men's department over there.
Pardon me. Could you tell me where I can buy an evening gown so I should look like Lena Turner?
Miss, that's Lana Turner.
Lena, Lana, I'll never make it.
Well, I'm sorry, miss. I'm Jack Benny. I'm not a floor walker.
I saw your picture. Get ready.
Well, she looks like Babe Marx. Come on, Mary. Let's get that collar button. I haven't got much time.
You'd have plenty of time if you stopped flirting with that girl.
Who was flirting? She thought I was a floor walker, didn't she?
Well, you didn't have to roll your big blue eyes at her.
Mary, just because my eyes happen to be large and devil may carry. Don't have to accuse me of flirting. Here we are.
Good evening, sir. What can I do for you?
I'd like to buy a collar button.
A collar button? Yes, sir. Now, here's a nice one for
$85. $85 for a collar button?
Yes, that includes dress shirt, tie, socks, patent leather shoes, and a double-breasted tuxedo.
Well, that's a good buy, all right, but all I want is a collar button.
Sorry, we never break up a set.
Well, now, that's ridiculous. You know, mister, I've shopped in every city in the United States, but I've never been in a store like this. I tried to buy some lipstick a few minutes ago.
Lipstick? Oh, come now.
It sounds silly, but I had a good reason. And the salesman at that counter insulted me.
Oh, Jack, look.
What is it?
Look who's over there at that counter.
Where?
Right there. Isn't that Kenny Baker buying a camera?
Well, sure enough, it is Kenny. Let's go over and say hello.
Gee, miss, this camera looks swell. I think I'll take it. How much is it?
$3.
$3? Gee, Dennis would like it all right, but haven't you got something for 55 cents?
Well, yes, but I thought you wanted to spend $3.
I do, but he's already hooked me for $2.45.
Oh, Kenny.
Hello, Kenny. Huh?
Oh, well, I'll be doggone. Hello, Jack. How are you, Mary? Gee, I'm glad to see you.
Gosh, Kenny, I haven't seen you in a long time. Gee, you're getting to be a big boy now.
I sure am. You want a cigar, Jack?
Oh, my goodness. Look, Mary, he's got a whole pocket full of cigars.
Yeah, I had them left over from Wilkie.
Oh, fine. Same old Kenny.
How about a little kiss, Mary?
Okay.
Big boy, all right. Cigars and everything, huh? All right, kids, break it up. Come on.
Wow, he has grown up.
Say, that was a real kiss, huh?
Personally, I'm a wreck.
Well, pull yourself together. Come on with us, Kenny. You can buy your camera later. I want to talk to you.
Okay.
I'll see you later. I got to buy some hose.
All right. So long, Mary. Say, Kenny, how do you like your new job? See, that Fred Allen is pretty tough to work for, isn't he?
No, he's swell. We get along great together.
Oh. But I'll bet you don't have as much fun as you used to have on the old Jell-O show. Gee, you remember all the laughs and good times and everything?
Yeah, but I'm having a wonderful time with Fred.
Ah.
Gee, talk about laughs. Say, he's a riot.
That's so?
Yeah. And you know what, Jack? Mr. Allen pays me every week.
Does, eh?
Yep.
Pays you every week, huh?
Yeah, none of that see me later kid stuff.
Well, you must have a pretty short memory, Kenny. I used to have that envelope for you every week, too.
Yeah, but with Mr. Allen, I don't have to play treasure hunt.
Oh, well, good clean sport. Never hurt anybody. Say, Kenny.
Yes, please?
Oh, fine. Say, Kenny, I just happened to think of something. Remember the time you first came to work for me and I invited you over to the house for a Thanksgiving party?
Yeah.
I'll never forget how bashful you were. You remember I asked you if you wanted to have some more turkey?
Yeah, and I was so darn nervous I said yes.
Oh, that turkey wasn't so bad.
Have you got much left?
Same old Kenny. Gosh, I'll never forget the time. Kenny, remember when it was Halloween and I didn't know you were in the backyard?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I heard a noise at the window, and there you were. Wasn't that fun? I sure was, Kenny.
Merry Christmas. See you Wednesday, Miss Benny.
Jack Benny on Tuned to Yesterday from December 21st, 1940 on NBC. And that brings to a close this Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levenier. Happy holidays.